At one time, America was one of the most well-educated countries in the world. That's because the Bible was very important. The founders said that our constitutional republic, in order for it to flourish, the schools were to teach each new generation the basics of our founding principles. But today, since God and love of country, at least America being the country, have been shown the door at the public school too often, we see the rise of all kinds of problems in America, impacted because of these government schools. Some Christian leaders think that ultimately the solution is for more Christians to at least have their own children no longer participate in the government schools. Neil Mammon is a Christian apologist and the founder of NoBlindFaith.com. He's also the author of a book called Jesus is Involved in Politics. Why aren't you? Why isn't your church? I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we have Neil Mammon joining us now to discuss government schools. Neil, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to be talking to you.
Sure. Well, do you think God did something unique in America, and do you think that ultimately we have kind of lost our way because of education?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, back in the 1920s, there was a group of socialists who came to America. They came actually in the 30s. They were fleeing Hitler, who was a different kind of socialist, and Hitler didn't have any toleration for anyone who didn't like his version of socialism. And they came here and they settled up in Columbia University, and they decided they wanted to bring socialism to America. They tried a few experiments. It didn't work. And they said, well, the reason it's not working is because we have to start from the beginning. American kids are too independent. They trust the Bible too much. We've got to take the Bible out of their education. We got to take capitalism out of their education. We got to take the free market, and we got to infuse it with socialism. And so John Dewey, they basically got John Dewey, who is from from Columbia University, and a group of other people. You can go down the line to take over the public school system and indoctrinate these kids with socialism and Marxism and, you know, DEI, and now more recently critical theory, which is DEI and critical race theory, all came from the same thing. So basically, we've got generations and generations of kids who are brainwashed into thinking capitalism, the free market system, is bad, and socialism is the only answer. It took them a long time to get to that point, but now America's at that point where the Frankfurt School's plans are actually coming to fruition.
It's interesting, too, when you see the Trump administration, for example, trying to counter DEI, the resistance that they're getting is amazing.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, these kids have been brainwashed for, 6 hours a day for 12 years of their lives, maybe 13 years if they went to preschool or even kindergarten. I mean, they went to like some sort of childcare before that, could be even longer. And then they go to college for 4 years. Is it any wonder, you know, as Verdi Bachmann said, you know, is it any wonder that when you send your kids to Caesar for education, they don't come back as Romans? And that's exactly what we're seeing. And the only way to get this, to stop this, is to get those kids out of public schools. But that is a problem, because if both parents work, how do you afford the often $15,000 for a private school? And charter schools are no guarantee that it's going to be any better. Some charter schools are good, like the ones run by Hillsdale College. But there's no guarantee that an average charter school is not going to give anything more than what Michael Mann was doing.
Since you mentioned Horace Mann earlier, but you're right. John Dewey was very deliberate in basically taking the Christian religion, you know, having no influence in the public schools. By the way, you know, this is a very interesting point. In the late 1800s, the public schools were so Protestant-oriented that Catholic immigrants, when they came here, they felt compelled to start their own Catholic schools for their own children. That was the origin of that. And then when you do research on some of the church-state decisions made by the Supreme Court, there was an anti-Catholic animus involved in this. Yep. And in fact, Clarence Thomas, incredible. I love that guy, but wonderful Supreme Court justice, you know, basically said, look, this whole misunderstanding about separation of church and state and so forth, the way it's come down, it was all born out of an anti-Catholic animus, and it ought to be revisited. But it seems like that ship has sailed. I just wanted to bring that out, though, because I think that's an important factor.
Absolutely, and I think and there's something to that that we can actually leverage on. We go back and understand that what they were against was things that were different from them in minor ways. And now we're battling things that are different from us in major ways. And so this is a something that needs to be addressed. Like, how do we address Islam and Hinduism that comes into the secular schools? Well, the simple answer is that your kids just should not be in government schools. When your kids are in government schools, you're going to have trouble deprogramming them. And this is what the communist countries have always done. Kids have to be in their government schools because they have to worship the great leader in Korea. They've got to be trained and brought up and their minds controlled to the point where they can be a vassal of the state. They can be dependent on the state. The state can control them. So now understand this. The state is not just some independent mindless charitable institution full of angels, right? The state is composed of powerful individuals who want power and want to control the masses. It's people who want power. All they do is they move from one arena to the other. In the socialist case, as I always say, people say that the capitalism is the problem. But when you go to socialism, you don't give up capitalism. All that means is the capitalism goes from the hands of the powerful businessmen into the hands of the powerful politicians. And I always ask when I run into a socialist, I go, really? So you want, and they're usually completely against Donald Trump. So I just ask them this question. So you really want Donald Trump to have all the power in this country? Because that's exactly what you get when you have socialism. You give all the power to Donald Trump or somebody like him. And you're just betting that you're hoping that your version of Donald Trump will remain in power and not our version. Well, I don't think we want either of those.
Okay, I don't fully understand what you're saying. But in other words, what you're saying is you shouldn't have any... Well, we know this. The Founding Fathers, and you could see this in the Constitution, the Founding Fathers absolutely did not want to have any monarch or oligarchy. They wanted we the people to be the ones in charge, and they so carefully divide power in the Constitution to make sure that nobody could in any way be tyrannical in the country. And obviously, some of this stuff has been breaking down.
Yeah, absolutely. And back to the example, what I meant is that in socialism, you still have capital. You still have money. Somebody has to make the factory. Somebody has to provide the jobs. Somebody has to provide run the farms. In capitalism, on the free market, individuals do that. In socialism, the government does. So the question I ask is that, do you want Donald Trump running your factories? Do you want Donald Trump running your farms? Do you want Donald Trump running, take whatever you want. Do you want Donald Trump to have all the guns? And they go, no. I said, well, that's what you're going to get if you move to socialism. You're just hoping your version of the leader of the socialism will not be anybody else. And that usually turns the argument around. They're like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't realize.
Yeah, okay. All right. So education, when it comes to the quality of education and, academic achievement, it's gotten so bad. And in fact, some basically say, oh, well, the solution is don't even give SAT scores because they keep plummeting. But why does, is it foreordained that education has to fail in America, at least in the public arena?
Well, in the public arena, it's not going to work. So here's what we're recommending. We would like to take, there's about 13 million kids in public school in America, Christian kids. There's a lot more secular kids, but we could start with the Christian kids. If we could take most of those kids out of those public schools, we would have a much more powerful voting block, a much more educated biblical block of kids who have happier lives, because they live their lives in biblical ways. And it turns out that the best kind of education you could ever give someone is homeschooling. Homeschoolers always far achieve everybody in their SATs. They far achieve in debate. They far achieve in socialization. They far achieve in multiple other skills. And they're all much more well-rounded because who knows better for a parent for a child than the parent. The problem with homeschooling, and we homeschool just so you know, is that you've got to have one parent, usually the mom, who can stay at home and can homeschool full time. It's not a part time job here. I mean, you could work a few hours here or there. So the problem is, unless you have a family where one parent does not have to work, you can't homeschool. So this is an issue. So that's the first problem. The second problem is, let's say we started a school system where everybody could go to school. Where would you host them? Would you have to build millions of new classrooms? And that's not going to work either. Or hundreds of thousands of new classrooms. That's not going to work either, because that's the capital cost for doing that would be so much. However, and then the third one is, where are you going to hire all these teachers to teach all these kids? So we looked at this problem, and a pastor named Sam DeLucci from Embrace Jesus Church in Oxnard, California, Embrace Church, he was looking at the problem. He said, how do we solve this problem? And he approached me, and together we came up with a solution. We said, look, what if we solve this problem like Uber? In Uber, the Uber does not hire the driver, they don't own the car, and they don't tell the passenger when to travel, where to travel, right? So we thought, what if we could do a model like that? And Uber grew massively because every single Uber individual is his own private contractor. So we thought, what if we could do this with schools, with Christian schools or homeschooling, where you could drop your kid off on Monday morning and they would be taught by a homeschool mom? The question is, where would you teach them? And then we realized, look, we've got something like 100,000 evangelical churches around the country who don't have homes, don't have their own church schools, and they have 5 to 6 classrooms. That's 500,000 classrooms out there that could be used, because those Sunday school rooms are not used during the week. So we thought, okay, what if we did the Uber model? So we created an app, and you can go to RevACAD, RevACAD.com, or reviveacademies.com. And you can sign up as a church saying, I want homeschooling to be a ministry of ours. Now that it's a ministry, the state can't come in, OSHA can't come in. It's just a ministry, just like the high school ministry, right? And then you say, you put on there, I got 5 classrooms. This one, each one can hold about 15 or 20 or whatever you put in there. And you can put each classroom down. And then you sign, you agree with our statement of faith, and you're done. You're set to go. Well, now that goes out on our app site, and a homeschool mom who is already teaching 3 kids or used to teach 3 kids and says, I can teach 5 or I can do 10. She goes on there and says, I'm a homeschool mom. I have experience homeschooling. I want to be, quote unquote, in the Uber model, the driver. I want to be the homeschool mom. I want to be a tutor. She signs on. She does a background check. They meet with the church, and the church says, yep, we like this person. We're going to let them use our room for homeschooling. Everything is legal and everything's done. They create, they basically become a 1099 contractor. Now the parents go online and they say, yeah, I want my kids to go to school and you bring them out of the public school. So they look around and they find a church that has a tutor there, and they say, yeah, I want to send my kid there. They do, most schools have a little form you have to file saying, I want to bring my kid out of high school and I want to start my own, I mean, out of school and I want to start my own school. We walk you through that process. They talk to the teacher. They interview the teacher all online, and then they meet the teacher in person. They will. And on Monday morning, the next Monday morning, they can drop their kids off in class. And we use, right now we're using My Father's World curriculum, which is a great curriculum, and has been around for years and years and years. Very successful. A lot of people love it. We will add other curriculums if people want. But now the parent can drop their kid off, and the cost is only $25 a day. So if you go full-time, you don't have to go full-time. You can go 3 days a week. But if you go 3 days a week, it's $2,700 a year. If you go full-time, it's $4,500 a year. And if that homeschool mom wants to teach 10 kids, she will make $45,000 a year. If she wants to teach 20 kids, she will make $90,000. That's a homeschool mom, and her kids are free. She's already teaching her kids. Why not teach her kids?
Wow, we're out of time. ReviveAcademies.com for more information. Neil, at the end of the day, though, you think, hey, we can't just continue business as usual, because we've got to turn things around, especially when it comes to education. Neil Mammon, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you very much.